Mizzou's victory in football this weekend was the culmination of an intense week, not just for students and staff, but for alumni as well. A lot of people have been looking back on their own experiences and reevaluating them through the lens of the recent upheaval. So today, on KCUR's Central Standard, we've invited MU grads of different generations to talk about how they remember race at Missouri's Columbia campus. If you went to the school and want to share your experience, call 816-235-2888. We want to understand how memories shape your interpretation of the news. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, and now I'd like to turn to Leonard Graham, an African-American engineer from Kansas City who went to MU between 1967 and 1970. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Before we get into your time at Mizzou, what had been your experience of race before college, say in high school?
I went to Southeast High School here in Kansas City, which at the time was a predominantly white school. There were few blacks during my early years and even all the way through graduation. Stepping into the campus of the University of Missouri in 1967 was just like another chapter of the same book I had been reading.
Yeah. What made you decide to go to MU?
I had always wanted to be an engineer. And when I was in high school, I looked at a number of different choices of schools that I could go to. I had looked at Purdue University, didn't have enough money to go out of state to Purdue, looked at University of Missouri at Rolla, and had almost signed up to go to Rolla until I found out it was an all-men's school, and I figured that wasn't my kind of thing.
You had some other interests that might conflict with.
I certainly did. I ended up choosing University of Missouri at Columbia.
So you said it was like the same a different chapter of the same book, and I guess that I take that to mean that you encountered a predominantly white campus.
Oh yeah, when I was in school there, in the late '60s and early '70s, we had about 300 black students on campus. And at the time, the overall student population of the University of Missouri at Columbia was probably 25,000 or so. Many times I have described my college experience as going to a very small black school that just happened to be contained in a large white university.
That's really interesting. I mean, did you make any immediate observations about race dynamics on campus? You came from fairly similar environment, but was anything different?
Yes. One of the things about the University of Missouri is that since it pulls students from all over the state, outside the metropolitan areas, and particularly some areas of the state that are south of I-70, so to speak, and probably toward the southeastern corner of the state. A lot of those areas, a lot of those rural communities, although they may have blacks there, the blacks are relegated to certain positions, or at least they were at the time, literally on the other side of the tracks. And as a result of that, attitudes among some students were probably 20 or 30 years behind the times, so to speak. And they brought those attitudes with them. And, you know, there were little things that made African-American students not feel as welcome as we wanted to be. But for my 2 cents worth, it was my state school. They had an engineering school. I deserved to be there, and I was going to be there, and I was going to succeed. And that was kind of the attitude I had.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really impressive that you were able to encounter antagonism on a certain level and still maintain a focus on your own goals.
Well, I've kind of always been like that. I'm not a person to take no for an answer very easily. The worst thing that somebody can tell me is, you can't do that. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll show you. So that was kind of my attitude.
Yeah.
When I was about to graduate from high school, I remember talking to some people, teachers and others at Southeast High School, and I told them I wanted to study engineering. And I remember one person told me, oh, well, are you sure you want to do that? Something to the extent of your people usually don't do those kinds of things, and had you thought about something else? And I thought that was really kind of a weird response, and it was something that I wasn't going to settle for. But I also talked to other people at my high school who said, oh, well, you want to study engineering, you're going to have to really buck up. And I specifically remember a math teacher who told me and another African-American student who wanted to study engineering that we needed to study hard. And she actually, because we didn't have any advanced math classes at that time, she actually set up a pre-calculus class for us that we did after school to get us ready to hit the ground when we got to MU. So I came in swinging and I was ready to go.
Yeah, it sounds like your high school experience must have prepared you in a lot of ways for what you'd be dealing with in college. There was a major incident while you were there known as the Black Flag incident that it took place while you were there. You were a witness to it. Can you tell us about it? What happened?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised that some of the things that are going on campus now are very similar to things that we struggled with when I was in school there, one of which was the infamous Black Flag incident. And I believe, and please bear with me because this is nearly 50 years ago now, but this was during my freshman year in 1967 when at one of the football games. All of the black students generally sat in a section together. We bought our tickets as a block. We went to the first couple of football games, and I was amazed that when Marching Mizzou, the band, when the band came out, I think it was at halftime, they played Dixie, and everybody waved little Confederate flags all over the stadium. And then on the opposite side of the stadium from where we sat, there was a fraternity called the Kappa Alphas who waved a large Confederate flag, big enough that it took two people to wave it on a pole. And, you know, a number of the black students talked about it and said, well, geez, you know, this isn't making us feel real good. And to us, the stars and bars was a symbol of oppression. And we went to the university administration and told them that. And the response that we got was something like, oh, well, you have to understand that this has been a tradition on our campus for so many years, and we mean you no harm, and we don't intend on offending you, but this is just a tradition here. And so as a protest, several students got together and took a bed sheet from one of the dorms and dyed it black, put it on a pole, sneaked into the stadium the night before a big game. And this was a TV game when TV games were a little bit more rare than they are now.
The ones that were broadcast.
Yes, yes. And sneaked into the stadium, hid it under the bleachers. And then the next day when the band comes out, they play Dixie, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The flags go up, and they pulled out the black flag and started to wave the black flag. And I don't know, 20 seconds later, up comes a campus policeman, and he says, you're going to have to put that flag down. And everybody said, well, why? You know, everybody's waving flags. Well, people can't see. I said, well, there's a big flag across the way. I said, you're going to have to put that flag down. We continue to wave the flag. And he actually unholstered his service revolver. And, of course, the flag went down. And it created a huge uproar on campus that brought about some changes.
What kinds of changes?
I think Dixie went away, and I can't remember the exact responses, but I do believe Dixie went away, and there was some effort to eliminate and minimize the Confederate flags, and that eventually died out as well.
So, yeah, I mean, that it's kind of amazing to me that stuff like that is part of our state university's past, and it's not part of, I mean, you hear about protests in the 60s, all kinds of civil rights movement stuff that would have been, you know, predating that by a couple of years, but still in the same general time period. Why do you think this isn't part of our larger sense of our own story locally?
You mean, why don't people know about things
like
that?
Yeah, why don't people know this story, and why isn't it kind of a big deal to us?
In many ways, I think that is just part of being in the Midwest and part of being in Missouri. You know, I talked a little bit earlier about Missouri is, well, historically, you know, Missouri was a slave state. And, you know, Civil War has been over for a long time. But there are still vestiges of attitudes and opinions that creep out in this state. And some of those things cause us to cause certain segments of the population to act in obtuse manners. And then secondarily, things that do happen on the university's campus, I won't say get forgotten about, but they just get pushed off in the corner and, forgotten about.
I want to come back to Leonard in just a little while, but let's get some other voices in on this. Jeff Huffman is also an MU alum. He's a bit younger than Leonard. He graduated in 2001. Jeff is now a weatherman in Florida. He's white, and he recently wrote an article for Medium.com telling his story. Jeff, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning, Gina, and thanks for the opportunity to tell my story here.
Your article begins with a confession that your first conversation with a black man didn't happen until you were 19 years old at Mizzou. Explain that.
Well, unlike Leonard's story of him, of his experience or his high school demographics preparing him for what he was about to experience, I felt like mine did not. I obviously probably had spoken to briefly in passing a black man before I turned 19, but I never really engaged or had a conversation with one. I do not recall actually having one man or woman of color in my entire public school life prior to going to college. Now as an older adult, I've looked back on the situation. And even when I visit my hometown in Southeast Missouri, the demographics haven't changed. In fact, according to the 2010 census, 0.5% in my hometown are African American, and 97% are white. So that left me going to Mizzou with quite a different experience. I was, I want to point out that I shared my story Sunday night before some of the events really unfolded on Monday. And I had been wanting to share this. I wanted to preface it by saying I've been wanting to share it for quite some time. I guess the recent events gave me an opportunity to do so. But even though there are challenges and problems, as we all have seen at the University of Missouri, based on my background, it was a chance for me to experience different cultures and diversity and really be opened up to that the first year I went to school.
How do you think the background you were coming from informed the way you interacted or didn't with students of color at Mizzou?
Well, it didn't. I was scared. I was ignorant. I did not understand. And I had no confidence whatsoever in speaking to anyone that was not similar to me. And I had to learn. It made the process of learning, and still to this day, it has made it more challenging to accept where I come from and make sure that's a point of reference in my mind moving forward, that I always have to remember that. Because quite honestly, that's, you know, the first 18 years of your life is where you really are molded into a significant portion of the person you are. And that made it difficult at first. Thankfully, I had an opportunity, which I shared in my story, to meet somebody at the Baptist Student Union who really helped me understand. And really, I really learned a lot. And even to this day.
Yeah, tell us about that relationship. It's a friend named Terry, right?
Correct. I was a leader of a Christian singing group at the Baptist Student Union. And I don't recall whether he found us or we found him, but he could sing. And he had what I believe to be a special gift from God. And that was such a joy to see. And I through that relationship and through serving with him in that setting, I think it might have, you know, opened the door for me to learn more. And, you know, I looking back on it, there are certainly things I know would be different now, having the understanding that I do now of where I came from and all the potential prejudices I had and you know, sometimes just low confidence in how to engage or speak to Terry. But, you know, it was interesting. And looking back on it, there's still several things I don't recall, but the recent events at Missouri have brought many things back to light in terms of my path through college at Mizzou.
Do you suppose that a lot of students at the school now are arriving on campus with a similar pre-collegiate experience of race in the state of Missouri to what you had?
Well, I was shocked, Gina. First of all, at the feedback and the amount of times that I guess how far my story has gone. I would never expected it to go this far. Some were in disbelief that this even exists still in America. But many, many more have expressed feelings that they could relate to it, similar backgrounds, similar upbringings. And when I looked at the census data, it continues to kind of amaze me. I'm not here to say why it happened or claim that there is still a, you know, I'm not here to claim why it happened or point.
When you say it, you mean the demographics of Southeast Missouri.
Yeah, just for instance, my hometown, 0.5%. Black, according to the census data in 2010, just a few miles down the road, you know, several communities surrounding my hometown, more than 25% were noted as African American or Black. So how that still happens, I don't know. I just had to recognize it and realize it. And it had to be a part of who I am moving forward.
Yeah, you make the case that it's important in conversations about race to acknowledge that you come from a place that has some kind of history that led it to have a less than 1% Black population. Why is it important for you to acknowledge that?
Well, and I want to point out that before, you know, I want to make sure that I make it clear that I'm not pointing any fingers that, you know, for instance, I'm not pointing the finger at myself that makes me someone who has a prejudice. It's just I have to realize that I had a longer time understanding and if times, for instance, if someone has not had the experience that I had moving to a university or to a city like Columbia that's more diverse, they may still struggle with that confidence issue, the inability to really understand and relate and converse and engage with someone that's different than them. So I think it's really important for us all to take a step back and look back to our upbringing, the first 18 years of our life where we're most moldable, and understand that where we come from does shape sometimes what we think and what we feel and what we say when we engage with or see someone of a different color.
Do you stay in touch with your friends who went to Mizzou with you?
Several, yes. But I actually, I'm longing for Terry to reconnect with me. I have lost Terry, and I don't know where he's at. So I'm looking forward to the day that maybe we can have another conversation real soon.
Have you gotten any backlash from fellow alumni, people who were your friends at the school, against what you're saying, or have people been really receptive?
I think in the context of the recent events, there has been some negativity, and that's just because of all the, you know, I mean, I'm a Mizzou alum. I'm embarrassed at what has happened, in a sense that there's been so much negative light shed on the situation. However, so I think in the context of the recent events, yes, some people have had a negative response. But in the context of just me sharing my story and making sure, you know, an opportunity to share my story, because it is something that I think is shared by a lot of Missourians, I think the response has been largely positive.
Jeff Huffman, thanks so much for your insights.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Leonard Graham, you were a student at MU in the late 1960s. What do you think of what you were just hearing from the weatherman?
That's not surprising. And I think that's pretty much what I had said earlier, that for some segments of the population at the University of Missouri, a lot of the white students had never been around blacks. And as a result of that, as Jeff said, there's unfamiliarity. Don't know how to deal with it. So just something that I would have anticipated.
When KCUR's Central Standard returns, a young woman recalls an intense racial incident at MU that happened just a few years back. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And we've been hearing from Mizzou alumni, black and white, about their experiences of race on the Columbia campus. You can still chime in for just a little while longer at 816-235-2888. Let's take a minute to chat with Ricky Bird. She graduated from Mizzou in 2014, just last year, and she's speaking with us from her new hometown, Brooklyn, New York. Hi there, Ricky.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Good.
And just to clarify, I graduated in 2013. Not
2013. Okay.
Yes.
That's still pretty recently. Before heading to MU in Columbia, what had been your experience of race?
I was enrolled in private Catholic schools from kindergarten to 12th grade. And so from kindergarten to 8th grade, the private school I attended was predominantly black in St. Louis, Missouri. And then in high school, it was predominantly white, and I experienced a lot of being the only black girl in class. I was in a lot of college prep for advanced courses, and I was just the only black girl there. So definitely, it wasn't necessarily blatant racism, but there were microaggressions that would occur occasionally, or things that I know that I felt specifically because I was that only black student in class.
Did you notice a difference when you arrived on campus at Mizzou? Any dynamics you hadn't witnessed elsewhere before?
At Mizzou, it was definitely more blatant. The racism was in your face. There was no way of thinking that it was, oh, they meant something else by it, or they didn't have bad intentions when they did it. It was definitely like, this is racism. There's nothing else to call it.
Yeah, you had a couple of especially unfortunate experiences. I'd like to start with the cotton ball incident. Can you tell us that story for people who didn't catch it when it was in the news?
Absolutely. So the cotton ball incident happened, I believe, when I was a sophomore at Mizzou. I was there from 2009 to 2013. And I can't remember specifically how the students came to find out about it, but I lived in the dormitory behind the Black Culture Center where the cotton balls were placed in front of the Black Culture Center. And so as soon as I found out, I walked past it, and it was unbelievable. And I was a photographer on campus at the time. I went back to my dorm. I grabbed my camera and started taking pictures. And I began uploading them to Facebook, and I sent them, I believe, to Fox 2 News in St. Louis, and next thing I know, reporters were calling and coming to the Black Culture Center, and Fox 2 drove up from St. Louis and interviewed me at the Black Culture Center. And so the students were outraged. The Black students were outraged. A lot of the Legion of Black Collegians were making statements. And
yeah, because this is a reference, in case people haven't picked up on it, to picking cotton.
Yes.
Yeah.
As I said, blatant racism. Yeah. There was no way to call it anything else. There was no way to say it was an accident. Oh, someone dropped their bat. No, but you knew what happened. And at the time, the Black Culture Center didn't have cameras. And the only cameras that were close to the center were those in the garage across the street. But there was no evidence. But then the school did find out that two white males had placed the cotton balls in front of the Black Culture Center. And their punishment was temporary suspension, but they were able to continue to be students after that. And I do believe, I haven't been able to clarify if this was a rumor or not, or this actually happened, but something went around saying that another form of their punishment was that they would have to work at the Black Culture Center for a certain period of time, which was completely outrageous because you really didn't want the people that that offended you and offended a group of students on campus to come and work where those students gather and gather at a place where that's their safe haven. That was our refuge. That's where we went in moments like this to talk about the issues that we were having, or even to just to have a good time and fellowship and celebrate and different things like that. So it was a bit, if it did happen, it was a very odd punishment to place on those students.
And you got really directly involved in bringing the story to public light.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about
Absolutely.
That.
Like I said, I sent the pictures to Fox News and the reporters came up. But, I mean, it definitely didn't receive national attention like it has with the current incidents on campus. And I really don't know why that is. I don't know if it just wasn't important enough, or it was swept under the rug so fast that it just didn't get out. But other instances continue to happen. I mean, the next year, someone put a racial slur on a statue in front of a dormitory, and students had to walk out and see that. And I didn't live in that dorm, but I lived not too far from it and went to see it. But at that point, it was a bit of being discouraged as well. I found an article recently that I was mentioning in the school newspaper, and one of the reporters asked me something to the effect of, you know, how do you feel about, you know, this incident? And reading what my 19-year-old self said, I could tell that I was very discouraged. I didn't think that a change would come. I didn't think that we were able to implement change. I just thought, here we go again, and it's going to keep happening and keep happening, which it did continue to happen, which is why my friends and family that are at Mizzou now to see that they are actually bringing about change on that campus has been very, very inspiring, especially considering what I went through and my friends and family went through the 4 years that I was there.
Can you tell me more about what you went through really personally? I mean, how did you get through these kinds of experiences emotionally? What did that feel like?
I responded specifically by joining a lot of Black student organizations. And the goals weren't necessarily to respond to these instances, but it became a safe space for me and a safe place for me to be surrounded by people who looked like me and were dealing with the same things that I was dealing with. So, I mean, I was on the leadership board for the NAACP chapter there and a part of the National Association of Black Journalists. And I worked for the Black Studies Program for 3 years, and I volunteered in the Columbia Housing Authority for 2 years. So I just responded by becoming very active in my community so that I did have that support system. And that's one thing that I did enjoy about Mizzou, is that those student organizations were there to unite and to support the students on campus when we needed it.
Ricky, Leonard said earlier that when he went to Mizzou in the 1960s, that it had felt like he went to a small black college in the middle of a larger white university. Is that a little, that's, when you talk about that you responded by becoming more connected to your own community, to people who looked like you, is that kind of what you experienced in 2009 to 2013?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, and the numbers were just as low then as they were when the other two guests were speaking. I mean, I know when I came into the school, it was the largest number of black students that they had accepted, but the number was still relatively low. And, but when you were, when I was surrounded by all of the black students in all of these organizations and the events we had, it kind of felt like, okay, I'm here. I belong in this space, at least with people that look like me and feel the things that I feel. So I definitely understand what Leonard was saying in that comment.
Leonard, what is your response to hearing that someone else's dynamic was so similar to yours just a couple of years ago?
I'm kind of shocked that things of that nature are still going on at the university. I've maintained over the course of the years relatively close contact with the school. My son is a MU graduate, and my daughter-in-law are MU graduates from I think around 1992 to 94, somewhere in there. Ricky's experience with the Black Culture Center particularly interests me in that several years earlier, a number of African-American students, African-American alums with the Black Alumni Organization had pushed for building that Black Culture Center, and I was a part of that effort. And so I'm happy to hear that Ricky used that facility and felt at home in that facility, because the Black alums knew that something of that nature was needed. There used to be an old house that was kind of was the Black Culture Center that was really rickety old building on campus. But we knew that there needed to be a formal facility on campus to give black students a place that they could call home. And it was really interesting in that there was opposition to that when we first brought it to the university because people thought it was a separatist thing. And we said, well, no, it's not separatist. It's just that you have a group of students here who, without that, will not have a place that they can call their own, that they feel is home, and a place that they can come back to as alums.
I feel like you've made sort of an indirect statement on the role that alumni have in shaping how things pan out beyond their own time at the university. I mean, you've talked about that it was black alumni who created that Black Cultural Center. Is there a role for alumni now, given everything that's going on campus at this moment?
I think so. I think we have to continue to support the students on campus and to make the university administration know and understand that there are people out there who may have views and concerns that have to be listened to, that you just can't turn a blind eye to a segment of the populace just because you don't understand.
Let's talk to Jim in Kansas City. Jim, do you have sort of a, we don't have much time, but we'd love to hear what you have to share.
All right. Yeah, my name is Jim Nunley. I actually am one of those rare people who is black, educated at the University of Missouri. And 1965 is when I graduated. I also was born and bred and educated in Columbia, Missouri. So my perspective is a little bit different, but nonetheless, pretty much of what Leonard and many of the other people have talked about. But the one thing I want to really address there is what you said about the alumni. It is a real ridiculous feeling to be angry and fearful at the same time. The anger that I felt was, you know, like being sort of set aside, not listened to, not prepared for, certainly not patted on the back. But at the same time, fearful that as a youngster or as a part of the persons to be educated, I was afraid that if I got out of line that I would be put out of school. So there is a definite role for alumni because they went through it and now can independently sort of influence the administration toward change. I'm also moved by the role of the football team because as an athlete, I was always told to stay out of social affairs and pay attention to the scholarship. But more importantly, now that that has come about, that's going to make others kind of think that maybe there is something that needs to be fixed. I'll open myself up to questions. I think Leonard is exactly right. He's being a little modest in being able to say that he was part of the building of that culture center. I mean, he was the mainstay. He was the tenacious person. He was the person who followed up well after he had graduated to make sure that that manifestation would come true.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Leonard, you know, yeah.
Thank
you.
So
anyway, I'll answer any question. I hope this has been helpful.
Thanks, Jim. Leonard, what? First of all, it sounds like you were maybe being a little modest, so glad someone gave you your due there. But what do you think about, I mean, especially this idea about the role of a football team? I mean, that is fairly new for these athletes to take this kind of stand. Did it surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me. And quite frankly, drastic action sometimes need to be taken to get people to listen. The Black Flag incident that I talked about was a drastic action, but it got the administration to listen, and that ultimately created the Legion of Black Collegiates, which is the black student organization on campus. So things like that are necessary. It's struggle.
Ricky, Leonard, and everyone who called in, thanks so much for this discussion.